From WWNO, this is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. This and every week we talk with people from Louisiana who've devoted their lives to music. We want to hear about their experiences and listen to what they're listening to, because that's where our music comes from. This week, Don Vappy of the Creole Jazz Serenaders explains why traditional jazz makes us smile. He says it might have something to do with classic comedy. Remember Laurel and Hardy?
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.
It's sort of connected to the humor, the comedy of that creative time. It's timeless.
Stan Laurel, Oliver Hardy, and Don Vappy coming up on Music Inside Out after the newscast. Have you ever heard the expression, meet cute? In screwball comedies, adorable people bump into each other under adorable circumstances and fall in love. They meet cutely, or they cutely meet, or to put it simply, they meet cute. In a few seconds, we're gonna meet, and you just might fall in love with, a lion of traditional jazz. His name is Don Vappy. He's a multi-instrumentalist and founder of the Creole Jazz Serenaders. Don Vappy is a musical historian, songwriter, and arranger. He's introduced the banjo to symphonic music, R&B, and the blues. His original compositions are adorable, and Don Vappy is, you guessed it, cute with a capital Q.
Look at me, hey baby, do you like what you see? Well, maybe you could spend a little time with me. Check me out, check me out, come see what I'm all about now, baby. You could spend a little time with me. You sure look real pretty. Let's go paint the city. Come on, we'll paint it red, paint it red. Hey, baby, you heard what I said. Now maybe you could spend a little time with me.
Don Vappy joins us at Elephant Quilt Studios in New Orleans.
Was great.
My mother really likes my original tunes.
They're wonderful. They really are.
All right.
There's something that sounds inherently optimistic about traditional jazz music. Even in a dirge or a song with heartbreaking lyrics, there's an inherent happiness to it. Why is that?
It probably is an inherent happiness to it. It's celebratory. It's a celebration type of music. But even the sad music, it can lift you out of your bad moods or bad feelings or depressions or whatever little rut you're in. And that's probably why I play music. It's the one thing I really, you know, everything can go away.
You know, you have a song on your CD called Banjo a la Creole, and there's a song on it that's called The World is Waiting for the Sunrise. And, you know, when I read that title, I thought, ooh, The World is Waiting for the Sunrise. That must mean that, you know, that things are going badly and, you know what I mean, and the world needs a shot in the arm, you know? But man, when I listened to the song, it actually sounded so zesty. It sounded like the world was so excited it couldn't wait to get up in the morning.
That's, you know, that's a great take on it. I like that. I first heard it in a Laurel and Hardy movie. They were They were in the Foreign Legion, and they were about to, they were going to be shot in the morning.
There's a nice pickle we're in. Shot at sunrise.
I hope it's cloudy tomorrow. Say, Ollie.
What?
You still want to come back as a horse?
I don't care if I never come back.
Laurel starts playing on the springs of the cot they were sleeping on.
I'll play you another one now.
Shut up! Oh, go to sleep!
You know, it's funny you mentioned Laurel and Hardy being the first time you heard that song. I think it might speak to another observation that I make, and I'm sure other people have made about traditional jazz, which is that more than most other forms of music, it is very comfortable with humor. You know, I mean, but Bob Dylan is many things, but he is not funny, you know. Like Bruce Springsteen, you know, puts on a fantastic concert and you can laugh, you can have a wonderful time. But inherently, you know, you listen to an album like Nebraska, not funny, okay? But traditional jazz is funny.
Yeah, it's joyful. It's a celebration. But you know what? I'd love to hear Bob Dylan play the Saints. I bet you that would be fun. When the Saints were marching in. Yeah, you know? That would be great. I'd love it.
Oh.
You know, I've found musicians have more than one side. It's just the side that happens to, you know, hit or get them in the door. That's the side that ends up being marketed or whatever, and that's the side everyone sees and remembers.
That's true. That's true because, you know, he does a polka, I tell you, and it is rocking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can believe that.
That's long and white.
Santa's got a beard that's long and white.
Who comes round on special night?
Santa comes round on special night.
Special night, beard that's white.
Must be Santa, must be Santa, must be Santa, Santa Claus.
You have a CD that's a tribute to King Oliver and his orchestra, you know, and it's called In Search of King Oliver, you know, perfect name.
Yeah.
And you and the Creole Jazz Serenaders recorded a song that's called Froggy Moore, which is fantastic. It brings out the kid in all of us when we hear it because there are certain rhythms in it that just remind you of some youngster or, you know, just screwing up his courage to go and do something, to make a big leap.
Yeah.
You know, and inherently there are no lyrics, but that song is funny.
Good. You know, that whole CD came about because of Oliver being the 1923 band is the one that brought Armstrong up to Chicago and all. That song, though, Froggy Moore, man, it's probably related to a dance. You know, I couldn't tell you what it was. If my mother was here, she could tell you because she was a dancer, boy. She's in fact, if her knees weren't bad, she'd be dancing right now at 93. But that's exactly what that song is about, that gearing up to go thing, you know. And if further on into it, that doubles. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da All of that stuff was just such a variety of message.
It's true.
In each song, you know?
It's true. And you know, and maybe that's one of the reasons why people use that music so often in comic films or in cartoons to sort of show, I don't know, the foibles and the fun of humanity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure. And it's sort of connected to that time period. And it was such a creative time that it's timeless. Best moment on that whole CD for me is Clyde Kerr Jr. playing about eight measures in a song called Riverside Blues. He was playing an 1890 cornet. You know?
That is beautiful. And in fact, it's even more fun to watch your face as you are listening, because you are like in ecstasy.
Well, you know, it really speaks. Clyde Kerr Jr. was a fantastic musician, teacher. He taught Terrence Blanchard? Yeah, Wynton Marcellus, Nicholas Payton. He's the guy. They all went through Clyde. I got Clyde to do that record, and I remember him saying to me, because, you know, he plays more modern styles of playing. And Clyde said, "Man, this music ain't got no rest."
That's a perfect way to describe it.
And it doesn't.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, modern guys, you can go up there and say what you got to say, and then you can sit back and listen to somebody else talk. But this stuff was, there was no rest.
But, you know, I wonder whether the appeal of traditional jazz has to do with sort of the measure and the economy that's in the music. In this particular style, you know, the songs are tidy in a way. I mean, the musicians listen to each other. The songs are never too long. They're never too short.
You know, in regard to the recordings, they were limited by, you know, for 3 minutes or whatever. But, you know, what you're saying, the early jazz, traditional jazz, New Orleans, is really the roots of modern jazz.
Right.
In that it established the conversational quality of playing. In a New Orleans style, we're all on the same level. Everyone's free to comment. It's just like a group of people talking about something. You know, sometimes you all get to say things at the same time, but there's this sort of democracy in it.
Exactly.
That we all agree to follow this unwritten etiquette of speaking together, you know?
That's right. I mean, that's a perfect word for it. There's a democracy to it, you know, because everybody's important, and not in that kind of like New Agey way where you're important, you know?
Yeah.
For every little person is just a little piece of gold. No, no, no. But it's in a wonderful way in that it is like a conversation between a group of people.
Hey, pal, do you know anything about the latest dance they got out now?
Why, no, I don't. What is the latest dance they got out now?
Well, the latest dance they got out now is called the Scoodlum Scoop. Hey, man, you're gonna like it. It goes something like this. You got a Scoodlum Scoop. Yeah, baby, just Scoodlum Scoop. Nice Scoodlum Scoop. Scoodlum, Scoodlum, Scoop. Scoodlum Scoop. You ain't good looking and you don't dress cute. You got to keep a popper for your personal use. Nice Scoodlum Scoop. Scoodlum Scoop.
That was Papa Charlie Jackson, man. That was cool.
Yeah.
That's Don Vappy and the Creole Jazz Serenaders with Scoodlum Scoo.
Don't hurt yourself.
And you're listening to Music Inside Out. Don't hurt yourself. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. There's a lot more than humor in traditional jazz. The music also conveys complex emotions and a wide array of human experience. Don Vappy says he finds release in the music he plays.
It can help you process, you know, because sometimes the emotions are so strong that they just slam you in the face. But sometimes if you're listening to a song and you're getting some of what you've been through and you're hearing some of that, it actually allows you to process it from the outside, like outside looking in.
That's it. That's exactly right. Like I hear a song like Careless Love that you sing, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful song, right? Very atmospheric. And yet at the end of it, you know, I feel like maybe you can love again.
Yeah. Because, you know, it's really connected to life. I mean, you can't take this music and explain it without explaining the whole of life in this culture because, you know, it's just like thinking about a loved one who's not here anymore. You might have this little down moment where you really miss them, but then you pop out and think about the fun you had or something crazy they did or something. It's all connected. You can't isolate one emotion from the rainbow of emotions that you have about everything. And I think that's the quality of New Orleans music.
So would you mind playing Careless Love for us?
No, I don't mind. It's funny. A lot of people like that.
Thank you. That was really beautiful.
I like that. The banjo has this stereotype that goes along with it. Because even I kind of, you know, thought of it, as Wynton would say, you know, it has this plantation connotation.
Wynton Marsalis?
Yeah, he told me that, you know, like, okay.
Well, I think of hee-haw sometimes. You remember
yeah,
hee-haw?
But we always think of country or bluegrass or something, which, mm-hmm. you know, mountains and all, and which is cool. I mean, I really like all that stuff, too.
Yeah, I do.
But when you look at the banjo and where it came from, and you listen to the way the ancestor of the banjo was played and follow it, you know, actually some of that three-finger style actually almost reminds me of the guys playing ngonis in Africa. I'm actually pretty proud of the little bit I've done. I've changed, at least I've changed attitudes a little bit.
I want to talk a little bit about your work in the Creole Jazz Serenaders, because like a beautiful play on the baseball diamond, everybody does exactly what they're supposed to do through some constellation of experience, instinct, and luck. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
That's partly because I arranged some of it. But most of the guys that play this style of music, they sort of understand the role of their particular instrument in the band. You know, it's like we kind of know where we're going, you know? And we think about that there's something to be said about ensemble playing. And when you're playing parts together, there's a certain strength in it. There's a power factor. It's like a free fall.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like four guys jumping out of the plane, and then suddenly the plane comes down and kind of catches them before they get to the bottom.
Yeah.
It can be really powerful.
Get to the album that you did, Banjo a la Creole, which features banjo specifically, and it says it will, and that's what it does exactly. But when I listen to your other CDs, you are a team player. I mean, there are not a whole lot of solos for banjo in the music that you have recorded. I mean, where does that kind of modesty come from?
I don't know. I really don't. Because in today's world, it's not the way you ought to be, I guess, you know. But, you know, Jelly Roll Morton, I think, was a real master at that, because he's known for being the first guy to really write it down.
Yeah.
We think. And it has always fascinated me, as bad a cat as he was, and bad meaning good, you know, he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
But when you listen to his music and stuff he arranged, he didn't really feature the piano a lot. He played for the group.
Yeah. One of the questions that we like to ask our guests is if they can remember a song, maybe not even their favorite song, but a song that they remember very strongly from youth, something that you had to listen to over and over and over again, simply because it was that beguiling. Can you think of a song that you listened to in your mother's house?
It was my first record. It was... Liza, Let the Clouds Roll Away. It was the flip side of Tisket a Tasket with Ella Fitzgerald, her big hit, you know. And it was Chick Webb's band. So I had this Decca record player, and I just played it over and over, man. And the sound would just, my spine would tingle. My whole body would shake because it just sounded so, I don't know, it's like I was there, you know? Liza Let the Clouds Roll Away. It was an instrumental piece. Oh, man, it was like it started with Chick Webb on the drum. Boom, 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 boom. And the horns were coming. And it just, I'm just killing the range. My grandmother gave me that record. It was old 78.
Uh-huh.
And A Tisket a Tasket was the hit.
Right.
In fact, I did a gig with Wes Anderson not long ago in Michigan, and they had a young girl, like in her teens, coming up to sing, and she decided to sing that and that arrangement of A Tisket a Tasket.
Really?
And I knew it from way, way back, so I was the only like jazz guy that knew this really. Oh, because I knew all the background, you know?
Yeah.
She's like, oh, gee, I wonder where my basket can be. And I came up, so do we, so do we, so do we, so do we, so do we. Dun, 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 dun. You know,
I mean,
I knew the whole thing, man.
Right. Was it blue? Remember that?
Right. No, 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 no.
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it green?
No, 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 no. Just a little yellow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so after Hurricane Katrina, you produced and starred in a documentary that ran on PBS that was called American Creole New Orleans Reunion. And there were a lot of things that were happening in that documentary. But one of the most interesting things is that it allowed you, I think, to introduce, you know, the world to your very unusual, but maybe at the same time, very typical, you know what I mean, Creole family.
My dad's side came over in 1829.
From?
France.
From France. Mm-hmm.
And it was Vapai, V-A-P-A-I-L-L-E.
Okay. Did he die young?
He died in 88 or 89.
Okay.
You know, it's funny. He used to come and see me play, and then one day he said, you know, I used to always think you needed something to fall back on, but I think you're doing all right. So that was kind of nice
That's kind of great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's exactly the validation you need from your parents sometimes,
yeah,
you know?
It was nice he told me that.
It is. And so, you know, your mother, Rosemary, this is one tough cookie. At least she appears to be in your documentary. I mean, when we meet her, she's 87 years old. This is post-Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
Her house was filled with, 4 feet of water, I want to say?
About 5 feet in the house, yeah.
5 feet in the house. Where was she living?
Uptown New Orleans, around Xavier, Carrollton area.
In the Carrollton. Okay, she's living up in the Carrollton area. She's displaced from her house. She comes to stay with you. And then after a certain point, she's like, look, I got to find my own place.
Yeah.
And then she, you know, she finds herself an apartment. And, you know what I mean? And does so, at least on camera, with a lot of equanimity. I mean, she is one cool customer,
yeah.
It seemed to me. I mean, what's your take on her?
That's her, man. She's still like that. I mean, she's 93 and she's still, you know, I can't say she's slowing down.
Where did you grow up? What was your neighborhood?
Well, I grew up in that house.
In the Carrollton area.
From about 6 years old, yeah. I was born on Coliseum and Valence.
Well, I heard that when she was young, she saw Fats Waller play.
Yeah, she
here
told
in New
me
Orleans.
That he played. It's just like, I'm like, you know, hey, Ma, what did you do when you say you used to go dancing? Well, we used to go on for Red Street, you know. There'd always be a band playing there somewhere. And I said, well, like who? Well, I don't know. Fats Waller, somebody. I'm like, you saw Fats Waller? Yeah, a couple of times. They were pretty good.
Pretty good.
The joint is jumping. It's really jumping. Come in, cats, and check your hats. I mean, the joint is jumping.
But that's a real Louisiana Creole thing, because Joe Sample, his mother, his grandmother's from Verdonville. And I remember talking to him, and he said, yeah, man, I went back, and I'm like, hey, Grandma. She's like, hey, Joe. And it's not Joe got Grammys and stuff, right?
Right.
Hey, Joe, you still got your little bag? You know? I was like, man, yeah, that's, you got it.
It's true. It's true. Well, I tell you, in your documentary, first of all, it's heartbreaking in many ways, not just because of the material things that you lost, but I thought that you might break, actually, when your mother told you that she did not like the way you seasoned your food.
Yeah.
And I thought, Mom, give this boy a break.
Well, she was right about that particular thing she had, because it was rough. But that's what we had. I mean, she's given me terrible stuff in my life. She said, here, this didn't come out right, but this is what we got today. You
there
know, I mean,
go.
I've been there. But, you know, if you don't put onions in it, it's not seasoned.
That's right.
Because Millie made some tarragon chicken for her. She said, oh, this is pretty good. Did you put onions in it? Okay. Thank you, Mom. You know. So you want to hear lasagna?
You bet.
Lasagnon, lasagnon, lasagnon to the bon marché. C'est l'ici, c'est l'ici, ma grand-mère tournait les deux. Lasagnon, lasagnon, lasagnon to the bon marché. C'est l'ici, c'est l'ici, ma grand-mère tournait les deux. Pour coucher, oui, madame, vous pas mentir, non, madame. Bear cala to show, bear cala to show, bear cala, bear cala, bear cala to show. Pour coucher, oui, madame, vous pas mentir, non, madame. Bear cala to show, bear cala to show, bear cala, bear cala, bear cala to show.
Don't forget the onions, no, when you're making groceries with Don Vappy. Next up, Don Vappy and his love affair with funk music. Stay tuned. This is Music Inside Out. I'm Gwen Tompkins. are talking with Don Vappy of the Creole Jazz Serenaders. Don Vappy has breathed new life into songs originally performed by some of the earliest New Orleans jazz ensembles. The Sam Morgan Jazz Band, the New Orleans Owls, the Astoria 8. But Don Vappy's heart lies in good old-fashioned smelly funk. Anybody got a room deodorizer?
I think funk is actually more closely related to traditional jazz than the other things.
Really?
Because for the funk to happen, everyone has to understand their role in the group. Otherwise, it's too busy, you know. This analogy might not be great, but, you know, you can't smell it if there's always something going on. You got to have some space, you know? It's got to be funky, right?
It's got to be funky.
To be funky, it's got to, everybody can't, you know, boom, dum, dum, blah, 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 blah. It's got to be, you know, ba-doom, doom, ba-doom, tap, ba-doom, doom, doom, ba-doom, boom, bleed-a-dee. You know, just little things, just to make that space.
Exactly.
It doesn't have to be busy. Relax. Time is very important.
Yes.
You know? I always tell my students, practice with a metronome. I mean, it's important in all music, but in funk or in slow tunes, you know, you really need to be aware of time.
So, all right, what years were you in high school?
69 to 73.
What were you listening to back then?
Sly and Family Stone. Yeah, 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 yeah. You know, yeah, Sly was my hero, man. He was innovative. He was, yeah, it was happening. Well, we used to do meters tunes, you know? You know, when you get to the solo section, you know, it's like... and it's like...
So when you were in your bands, your funk bands, what else were you doing?
Oh, man. We were doing Earth, Wind, and Fire, like... You will find peace of mind when you look way down in your heart and soul. You know, so it was electric.
It's fantastic, though. Really, I feel Maurice White in the room right now.
Yeah, he was bad.
He was totally bad, in a good way, of course.
I saw him at the Superdome.
When I listen to Earth, Wind, and Fire, though, I actually can hear, you know what I mean, modern jazz in their funk.
Right.
So, for instance, like there's a Freddie Hubbard song called Carnival, and we're going to play it for you just at the beginning. And if you listen, you will hear... Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Yeah, that's exactly the changes of Serpentine Five.
It's fantasy.
Doo-doo-dee, 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 that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantasy, okay. Yeah, it's a little different.
So tell me, talk about that. I mean, is there a relationship between these two kinds of music?
Yeah, I was going to tell you, too, it also reminded me of A Day in the Life of a Fool, Black Orpheus. I mean, you know, a lot of music borrows from other music. I mean, so, yeah, there's definitely a relationship. And that's, you know, like we noticed Earth, Wind, and Fire so much because it was so musical.
Yes.
Well, that, you know, they didn't just, they aren't just like funk musicians or something. I'm sure those cats, you know, played music. And they just decided, man, let's do something. Boom. And
that's right.
You know.
And everybody's drawn from something, somebody else.
Right. And it's kind of funny because, you know, in the last couple of years, I've been doing a lot of, like, well, before that, it was all, like, banjo stuff. And it was great, you know. And I did this thing with the symphony. I did these arrangements, and they called me all kind of good stuff, you know. But, I mean, lately I've been doing a lot of stuff that people never don't remember me doing. Let me say that. They don't remember me doing things like that.
You were on Otis Taylor's release called Recapturing the Banjo, in which you all do that very thing. I mean, you're on it, Keb Moe is on it, Alvin Youngblood Hart is on it, Otis Taylor, of course, and you all do folk songs all the way to, like, Jimi Hendrix, right?
Yeah, we're doing it on banjos, because Otis was intent on making sure people understood the banjo came from Africa, and that was his focus on that.
Ran so hard, sun get down. Ran so hard, the moon came up.
You know, it's funny because I have to say, more and more I get excited about the people who are local musicians than I ever do about the national ones. You know what I mean?
You know, it's funny. My music heroes, my mentors are all local guys. Teddy Riley, I don't know if you remember him.
Oh, yes, player. Of course.
Placide Adams, Gerald Adams, who's still with us. You know, Bob French, one of them. George, singing. I don't want to leave Danny Barker out because I'm always thinking about Danny.
You know who one of my heroes is, who's from your family, actually, is Plas Johnson.
Yeah.
And it may be for the craziest reason, but it's because he's the one who laid down the saxophone on my favorite song of all time, of course, which is The Pink Panther.
I heard that.
One cool cat. He is perfect on that song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's perfect on a lot of stuff. He's a phenomenal player. He has such control over the instrument.
It's true. It's true. And so, given the type of music that you are interested in and have been interested in since you were quite young, whether it was funk music, Sly and the Family Stone, or Earth, Wind, and Fire, or whether it was traditional jazz music, it seems like one of the themes of your interest has to do with dance. I mean, obviously, you play a lot of songs where people can't dance, but or shouldn't dance, or would prefer not to dance. But at the same time, you have a generous portion in your entire career of danceable music.
Yeah. I figured it's probably some of the African in part of me. Because I met this guy that grew up in Africa. And I told him, I said, man, I'm from New Orleans, and I know Africa has something to do with it, but I really don't know anything about African music. So he gave me some modern-day African pop, I guess. But he said it was real closely related to traditional styles of playing or traditional elements of the music was in this. and some videos of tribal events. And I remember leaving, you know, thanking him and all. And as I was leaving, he says, "Now look, when you watch the video, don't separate the music from the dance because you won't understand." And it's like this, somebody slapped me. I said, "Oh, that's it." That's New Orleans.
Yeah. The two are inherently
They're connected, man. Connected, you cannot separate them. You won't understand it.
Can you dance? If I asked your wife, Millie, if I said, "Miss Millie."
She would say, "I think I can."
You know, a lot of people can't dance.
President Obama can't dance,
and his father is from Africa.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, being from Africa don't mean you can dance.
It really
play
does
jazz.
Not. No.
Or have rhythm.
No.
You know?
I know, but it's true. But on the other hand, you know, you look at that poor man. I mean, you know, yes, he's the head of the free world, but at the same time, he comes from, you know, Kenyan stock. He grew up in Hawaii where they know some dance moves, you know what I mean? And he still can't dance.
Well, that's okay. He's smart. That's what I want. I don't want somebody who can dance to be president. I want to be able to talk to people.
There you go.
I'll dance for you, bro.
All right.
I'm glad he's smart.
You know, not long ago, you did a few years ago, I want to say, you did an interview, a very short interview with the Times-Picayune.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember this one question that you answered so perfectly. And the guy asked you, in 25 words or less, describe the kind of music that you play. And what did you say?
I think I said good.
Perfect answer.
Yeah, he didn't know where to go with that. Chris Rose, I think it was.
Chris Rose it was. So now I'm going to ask you, just as we're winding up, so prove it, okay? Do you have any other song that you'd like to share with us? Something good that you want us to remember you by?
Oh, God, I don't know. Yeah, why not? I called it Flying Horses because it reminded me of the carousel in City Park. We used to call it Flying Horses. And it was just fun. But it's sort of Caribbean, and it sort of swings in the middle. But I don't have the band to swing, but that's okay. I started like...
Singing was good.
Yeah. Yeah, my buck has got a hole in it. Well, my buck has got a hole in it. Yeah, my buck has got a hole in it. It can't hold no beer. Standing on the corner, bucket in my hand. Gonna find me a woman that ain't got no man. Yes, my buck has got a hole in it. My buck has got a hole in it. Yeah, my buck has got a hole in it.
can't hold no beer.
Langyap.
Langyap, yeah.
Don Vappy, thank you.
All right. Thank you. Merci beaucoup, madame.
Don Vappy spoke with us at Elephant Quilt Studios in New Orleans.
Yes.
Next week, a masterclass with the great Alan Toussaint.
But augment l'avant-garde. Yes, that's some of that.
What does that say to you, that chord?
That's a sophisticated jazz. So you better know what you're doing. It's like carrying your own pool stick, you know? Oh, yes.
This is Music Inside Out from WWNO. Our show was produced by Jason Ryan and Sean Collins. Our engineers are Thomas Walsh and Jenny Lawson. Ron Biava is development and marketing manager at the station, and the general manager of WWNO is Paul Mawson. I'm Gwen Tompkins. This week, the last word goes to Don Vappy. We asked this son of the 1970s to play his other favorite song.
I never played it on banjo. That's the bass line. It says, express yourself. Whatever it is, you know. Huh. You know? And the bridge was great. It's like, it's not what you look like when you're doing what you're doing. It's what you're doing when you're doing what you look like you're doing. Express yourself. Yeah. I know, that was great, huh? That's the Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band with Charles Wright.